It's Ed Said for this 1st of September 2016. Hello and welcome. This is where we recap a couple of bits from the day's show in case you missed something. I mean, it's 2 hours. What were you doing that was so busy? You couldn't just sit there and listen to me. As this is the day before I go on a short vacation, taking an extended weekend with the holiday, and I plan on relaxing, this will probably be a brief intro, which is always exclusive content. This is content you can't get on the air. This is why you have to listen to the podcast. I want to talk about vacation. I want to talk about disconnecting. I'm going to do my best this weekend to stay off my phone, stay off the internet, stay off of social media, not keep up to date. Now, you might think that will hurt me as far as content goes for Tuesday. That's okay. I don't need to swim in the filth 24/7 to stay informed. I can catch up Tuesday morning. I don't think too much is going to change. So I will not, I will do my best to not get too involved in research and reading about politics and nonsense over the weekend. And I encourage everyone to do the same. We always need a break from it. I know we enjoy spirited discussion and knowing what's going on, but when it's the weekend, we should turn it off. Same goes for work. Unless this place is on fire, I don't want to get a call from the office. Will I take it? Yeah, 9 times out of 10. Because I'm in a position where somebody depends on me sometimes for information that is in my noggin. So I will try to take it. But at the same time, I'm far enough away that I won't be driving in should the place be burning down. It's just one of those things that, I don't know. My wife likes to keep us doing things as well, activities when we're on vacation. And I'm like, can't we just sit and do nothing? And I'm one of those people. I wasn't always, but I've become one of those people who can enjoy sitting on the chair on my front porch and doing nothing. Or in the backyard, on my patio, doing nothing. Just watching life go by. Probably because I spend the majority of my time moving at 100 miles an hour, whether it's talking or doing whatever else, that it's nice to just slow down and do nothing. So after you listen to this podcast this weekend, take some time for yourself and relax. Don't argue with anyone. Don't debate with anyone. Don't talk politics or local news or anything topical. Just sit for a moment and stare off slack-jawed into space. While it might sound that it's not productive, it actually is. It gives your brain time to relax, your body time to relax. You might even want to try one of those isolation tanks. I've done that before. I could only take but so much. If you haven't seen them, it's where you float in salt water and there's no sound. There's no nothing. It's just you floating. And it's disturbing. It was relaxing for about 5 minutes, but after that I got antsy. I'm like, when is this over? And I'm like that with everything, like movies even. I go, wrap this up. This has gone on too long. I get it. I guess I've always been to the let's get to the end part. I can skip all this. I'll figure it out as we go. So it's important to sometimes just sit back, relax, and just take it easy. So as I slow my pace here, try to calm down, try to get ready as I am just a few hours short of walking out the door. I'm going into vacation mode. I know it's a day early. Some of you have to work tomorrow. Sorry, I took a vacation day. I'm allotted those. I'm allowed. Enjoy your Labor Day weekend. Have a good time. Remember what it's for. Remember your friends and family. And remember to just relax.
Joining us now is Fox News Radio's Rachel Sutherland. Good morning, Rachel.
Hey, good morning.
So, Donald Trump appearing in Mexico, and I just made mention of how he seemed the calmest he's been, the most, I'll just say, refined. And I say that is because he was reading the speech that was prepared for him by other people. He wasn't winging it. He wasn't going off of his own knowledge or lack thereof. And he seemed more tempered, but still at the end, a bit of a disparity between him and the president of Mexico.
Oh, absolutely. They were able to meet together yesterday and then hold what was billed as a joint news conference, but there weren't a whole lot of reporters there. And, you know, a lot of people are saying he looked a lot more presidential. He was able to kind of not go off or do anything that people need to clean up the next day. I think overall for August 31st here, he had a pretty good day politically. Then he left the Mexico City and then arrived in Phoenix and gave a speech where you got to see a lot of the Donald Trump that really drew in his base, being tough on illegal immigration, yet at the same time you saw a measured Donald Trump, which I guess his campaign may be hoping will appeal to a wider base. You didn't see him dropping any kind of crazy lines or anything like that. So maybe he's trying to get to mix the best of both worlds and come out with, you know, a Donald Trump 3.1 or something like that.
3.1. Yeah, some people might say it's too little too late, but Hillary seems to be sitting back and letting Trump control the news cycle, which he has done since he announced. But she is almost absent, stands for her comment on his speech.
No doubt about it. He has totally dominated the news cycle over the past day or so. Even though she's been out on the campaign trail, it doesn't matter. He totally, yesterday, he completely dominated everything from this impromptu, as it appeared, visit to Mexico City to this splashy flight right over to Phoenix and then coming out in front of a pretty riled up crowd. There wasn't any room for Hillary Clinton. So he is continuing, as you say, to dominate the news cycle.
But for me, personally, it comes down to him selling people a promise, which I don't think will happen. And the wall is the big story. And he says Mexico will build it. He says they didn't talk about it while he was down there, whereas the president of Mexico says we did, and I promised him we wouldn't pay for it.
Yeah, I thought that was interesting. That, yeah, as you mentioned, Trump said that there was no discussion about the paying for the wall, but the president of Mexico had something else to say about that. And I think it's, you know, just not long ago, Trump was in Cincinnati. He talked to some vets there and said that he really appreciated the Mexican president's hospitality. You would think that they, you know, played a round of golf or something, instead of having it probably be, I would imagine, kind of an icy meeting. This is someone who had compared Trump to Hitler. But some people are saying, well, look, I mean, Trump looked presidential afterwards. He played the part. He did. If people are worried about him, perhaps going rogue with international leaders, this is one instance where he didn't do that. But others are saying maybe we've set the bar too low here. If he can just go in and not act totally crazy,
right,
then that's something to cheer about.
You know, that's funny, Rachel, because I was going to say, I go to work, I got into this business because I could wear sneakers, jeans, and a t-shirt every day. But you can still throw a shirt and tie on me and make me look presentable. But at the end of the day, I'm the sneakers, jeans, and t-shirt guy, and that's just who I am. And at this stage of the game, I don't think it's going to be a tough job for Trump to turn the people around that he needs to turn around in order to win this election.
Well, that's true, because so many that both candidates need to turn around have felt disenfranchised on the Democratic and Republican sides. And these are people who don't like either candidate, and their approval ratings for both of them aren't so great right now. And so reaching those people who perhaps might stay home or might go to the polls and write in a name and vote on the down ballot races, I mean, those are the ones they need to reach. And maybe that's what Trump is doing here. He does seem to have changed his approach. I mean, just what, a month or so ago, there were those reports of Republicans wanting to stage some kind of intervention on the man. And now you see a different side of Donald Trump. I don't know if it has to do with the new leadership that he's brought in or watching the polling numbers, but we're definitely seeing a more measured Donald Trump, yet he's maintained the passion and the stances that drew in his base to begin with.
Fox News Radio's Rachel Sutherland live from the nation's capital. Thank you so much, Rachel. It's always good to talk to you. Joe getting in bright and early. First one in. Good morning, Joe. What's going on?
Yeah, you know, I heard you the other day talking about freedom of speech, where, you know, if it doesn't hurt anybody or whatever, you're allowed to it, and life's tough, that's the way it is. You know, I heard you say that. Am I correct? I'm just paraphrasing, but it's similar to what you said. Am I correct?
That's an oversimplification, but continue.
No, but the thing is, you know, we'll take Hillary, all right? I mean, if you disagree with her view of the direction the nation should go or anything else, policy or whatever, you're called out and said, we're going to put an end to your programs, and we're going to put it. She even named them by name, InfoWars, Breitbart. She, I don't know whether that's something to give them notoriety, or, and she's throwing the elect. I'm not sure about how she's, what's going on in that head of hers, but She openly said that, so she doesn't necessarily agree with the view you're talking about, in my opinion.
Well, I'm not quite sure what you're referring to. I haven't seen any comment regarding that, but I might have missed it. I don't see everything. There is no possible way she can shut down the Breitbarts of the world, the InfoWars. I don't align myself with Hillary, nor do I align myself with those sites and what they do. So I'm not quite sure what she said or what you're getting at, but rest assured, if those are your places for comfort, they will remain.
Yeah, conspiracy sells.
That is definitely true. Everybody thinks somebody's against them. I appreciate the call, Joe.
Okay.
Let's go to Hank in Berlin. Good morning, Hank.
Hey, how you doing, Ed?
Doing all right. What's up?
I'd like to make a comment on that gentleman that called Brad early this morning that got pulled over, I believe, in Farmington by a police officer. Didn't get pulled over. He was making a phone call, and a cop pulled up behind him and checked his license. And, you know, let me tell you something. I know a lot of police in town here. I'm very good friends with them. And police have to be more vigilant today than they ever were. And I'll tell you what, there was many a times, they see a car parked, somebody on a phone, they pull it over to check. And you know how many times they find that either the person's license has expired, registration, stolen plates, or a stolen car? And did you know that a lot of police departments all over the country, including Connecticut, if I'm a cop and I'm working 3 to 11, you know, you hand the report in at 11 o'clock, and your shift sergeant checks your report. And if there's no accidents, it's in a slow night, and he sees nothing on there, he'll say to you, what'd you do for 8 hours? Sit in the park? You didn't pull anybody over for anything or for any checks? So I don't see anything wrong with that at all. Because they find many of cars, illegal plates, expired registrations. They have to be vigilant today. You know, I'm going to tell you a quick story if I got time. You know that store, Tractor Supply Place? You heard of that, right?
Yes.
Well, they just opened a new store in Middletown here on Newfield Street last week. And I went down there Saturday morning to get some birdseed. And I thought they opened 8 o'clock. Well, I pulled up about 8:15, 8:20. And when you walk through, there's sliding doors. Both doors are wide open. Wide open, okay? I didn't realize they opened 9 o'clock. I walk in and I say, anybody around? Anybody around? Nobody answers or nothing. I says, uh-oh. So I had gone out of the store, and another guy pulled in. I forgot my cell phone. I told him the situation. He called the Middletown police and told them. They come down, a cruiser in an SUV, and one police officer went in the back, one went in the front. And there was the assistant manager there putting stuff away in the back before they opened. And he told him, he says, well, he says, your doors are open. If you don't open for line, that's fine. But your doors are open, and a customer walked in, and nobody was here, and he thought was something suspicious. Well, you know, he come out, and he locked the doors till 9 o'clock, but the cop thanked me twice for calling. He says, we have to be so vigilant today. I said, yeah, 20 years ago, I wouldn't even bother calling. So,
well,
I mean,
here's
you know,
the thing when
I,
it comes to that, Hank.
You know, they,
you, you
know,
did, Hank, hold on. You did the right thing.
Safer.
You did the right thing. But, again, we have to take everything individually. You said hello. Nobody answered. Had somebody answered, they could have said, hey, we don't open till 9, and it would have been solved there. So you did the right thing. But on the flip side, when you talk about an officer whose superior comes in and says, what were you doing for those hours? They were policing. My problem is if there is a superior who says that, there is a difference between finding trouble and looking for trouble. And I don't think the police should be in the business of looking for infractions when it comes to plates and what have you. They run around with software on their cars. There's plate scanners. The call you're referring to earlier this morning, I did not hear. But apparently a caller was pulled over for taking a call. The cop asked for ID and the like, even though he was just taking a call. There was nothing wrong. So I can't support that. It's individual. So what you did is right in that point. But if somebody's pulled over taking a phone call, they have the expectation of not being scanned for trouble, I guess is the best way to put it. I would be more supportive of the officer coming up to the car saying, hey, is everything okay? rather than sitting behind the car going, you know, looking for tickets, looking for registration, looking for license. And that is the thing, looking for trouble and escalating. For me, that's a source of revenue. That's looking for revenue.
I got pulled over on 84. My car was skipping. So I pulled over and up onto the curb, and the state trooper about 10 minutes later pulled over, and he walked up, and he says, is everything all right?
That's perfectly fine. That's what we should
do. I think that's great for an officer to do that.
That is. That's what they're supposed to do. Like, I'm not going to applaud everybody for doing what they're supposed to do. I appreciate the call. Again, I didn't catch all the details from the earlier call, but here's what I'm saying. The one thing that you stood out was, what were you doing for those 4 hours if you come back and you didn't write any tickets or arrest anybody? Well, that's good. That means maybe crime is low in your area. Maybe people aren't speeding. You can't go. The police shouldn't be looking for trouble. The unfortunate thing is that they are a reactionary force. Policing is reactionary. Criminals have the advantage there. They have to commit a crime or at least make some sort of indication that they're going to in order for the police to act. Let's go to Bob in Suffield. Good morning, Bob. Bob, you there?
Yeah, hi, how you doing?
What's up?
I'd like to make a reference on the last two primaries in Florida and Arizona.
Yeah, go right ahead.
Yeah, McCain won in Arizona. Now, what I don't understand, the people of Arizona, they are directly affected by the illegal immigrants and the bad element coming into their state. There's been people killed. They've had livestock. They're in direct contact with illegal immigration. Now, Mr. McCain, I'm a veteran, and, you know, I've been watching this guy's record for the last 10 years. He's pro-amnesty for immigration, for illegal immigrants, okay? What I don't understand, how can people vote for a guy that he's going against their interests in a state that's majorly affected by illegal immigration?
I touched on this yesterday. I talked about it, and what it is because people like what they know, what's familiar. This is 30 years for McCain, and in my opinion, that is far more than enough. And say what you will about McCain, I aligned with him earlier on in his career, but once the whole Palin thing, that election cycle, he changed everything. He was trying to court Tea Partiers because he was in trouble. He was losing, and he had to do what he could. But he seems to have held on to a lot of those ideals. And I'm not happy with who he is now, but people are scared of change. They'll take the status quo over something new 95% of the time, and that is dangerous.
Eddie, can I say something, and then I'll go?
Yeah, go right ahead.
What I don't understand, Ed, I've been really following, you know, I consider myself a highly informed voter, okay? And what I'm trying to say to you, Ed, you have a young child, right?
I do.
Correct. I have three grandchildren. What I'm concerned about is that when you look at, I got relatives in Italy, okay? Some live in Germany, Sweden, and I talk to them over the phone. Now, I get direct information right from the horse's mouth. And you know what they tell me? You're not safe anywhere. They're so radicalized now in Europe that, you know, they're worried about Russia. Russia don't even want Europe. They don't want the problems that go along with the Islamic fundamentalists that are allowed there. In Germany, where my cousin lives, he said once you leave certain districts of Berlin, you can't walk through there. If they haven't assimilated. And, you know, as much as I hate, you know, I dislike Donald Trump, I think this is the last presidential election that will be competitive in our history, because when I talk to my cousins in Europe, Ed, they're telling me the truth. I mean, they live there, and we don't want to be radicalized. If we allow Clinton to win, our open borders are going to be so overflowed with immigrants from every angle that we won't ever see another election that will be fairly competitive. It'll be lopsided and very, very, because these people are going to get benefits, and we're broke anyway.